Well, we're going to talk about faith this morning. Faith. Sacrificial love for the benefit of others. That's God's value system. And it most looks like Jesus on the cross. And so, you know, sacrifice is very important, but faith is crucially important to understand. And I think that we, without a good understanding of faith, we can never become sacrificial lovers. God values faith very highly. Listen to this verse. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. See, without faith, you can't please God at all. It's impossible. Why does he make faith such a big deal? I mean, that's the thing. He makes faith everything for us, that we have to trust him. Without faith, you can't have relationship with God. So you've heard me teach over the weeks a lot about relationship. Relationship with God is based on sharing his value system. And without faith, it's impossible to please him. It's impossible to trust him. These are all relational words. And so by faith, we read here, God is pleased with us. And by faith, we are pleased with him. It's this circular thing that requires faith to have relationship with God. So in order to understand faith, we have to go back to somebody in the Bible named Abraham. You've all heard of Abraham. Abraham's significant. Abraham is the man of faith, we're told in the New Testament. The man of faith. He's really cool. Throughout the whole Bible, the idea of faith is tied back to Abraham. And so you have this section in the book of Genesis, and then it's always referred to. Who is this man, Abraham, that has this great faith? Abraham is the man of faith for one particular reason. He believes the promises of God. Faith, here's your definition of faith. Faith is believing the promises of God. So that's one more thing to memorize, right? I keep giving you these things to memorize, but I'm almost done. I've almost given you everything you need to know. And then, you know, you're on your own. So faith is believing the promises of God. That's the definition of faith. So Abraham is the man of faith because God makes promises to him and he believes them. He believes them. He just accepts them as true. God speaks to him and he says, okay, I believe it. That's what makes him the man of faith. What is the promise God makes to him? Well, this is one of the promises. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And, here's the crucial part, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. God promised Abraham after this a son. He said, I will give you a son. And eventually the son, he says, it's Isaac. Through Isaac, this blessing will come, this reckoning of my promises. So God says to Abraham, Abraham, come outside, come out of your tent. Abraham comes out of his tent, and God says, look up. He said, what do you see? Stars, right? So we know it was a clear night. So he's up there, he's looking at the stars, and God says, so shall your offspring be. You're going to have descendants as numerous as the stars. And we see something very, very significant in the verse right after that. It says this, and Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. That is one of the most significant verses in the book of Genesis. Because here you have Abraham believing God. He's exercising faith, and God takes that faith and gives him righteousness, imputed righteousness, not through works of the law, but through believing this promise. He is justified by faith. In the book of Genesis, we have somebody justified by faith. Very, very significant. Abraham believed God, and it's credited to him as righteousness. And the interesting here is this is the first time the word believe is used in the Old Testament. And it's tied to receiving righteousness from God. God just wants us to have faith in him, to trust him, to believe in him. And he credits righteousness to him. But Abraham and God weren't finished yet at this point. We get to an important thing. Abraham is the man of faith, and faith is believing the promises of God. But genuine faith acts on the promises of God. See, faith in the Bible is not just something that happens between your ears. All right? You don't just think, oh, I believe something to be true. Faith always is tied to action in the Bible. You believe, therefore you do. You believe something to be true, therefore you act on it. Otherwise, it isn't true to you. It's very important to understand this. What is the action that proved Abraham believed? So we have to go further on in the story. And this is what happens with Abraham. God says, Genesis chapter 2, Abraham. And Abraham says, yeah. I mean, he's used to hearing these promises from God. So he's interested. He perks up his ears. And God says, Abraham, take Isaac, the one that I promised to bless you through, and sacrifice him on an altar. Now, that was a really, really difficult revelation to hear. And we can't even get into the emotions of it this morning. I don't have time. He gets into that. And here, the difficulty for Abraham is he's heard two different words from God. He's heard one promise from God. Through Isaac shall the blessings come. Kill Isaac. Wait a minute. Isaac hasn't even had a chance to have kids yet for the promise to be fulfilled. Doesn't matter. Kill him anyway. And Abraham, in his faith, is able to just go ahead and go through with the sacrifice. He takes his son and he goes up the mountain. He arranges the wood on the altar. He binds Isaac. He puts him on the altar. He takes the knife and he's about to sacrifice him. And God says, all right, wait a minute. It's time to quit. See that ram over there? Use that instead. But God says to him, now I know how much you love me, because you wouldn't even put your son before me. Really, earlier on in the story, we see Abraham doesn't put his father before God, but now he says, I won't even put my son before God. God comes first in his life. So he has these two things. What's important here is it's the promise of Abraham's justification by faith, if you want, that was being tested. It was when he went out and said, so shall your offspring be. That is the idea that's being tested by killing Isaac. How could his offspring be as numerous as the stars in the sky if Isaac is dead? Very, very important to understand this. And James writes this, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. What James does here is he ties the sacrifice of Isaac, something that happened many, many, many years after Abraham believed God and he looked at the stars, to that promise. So the action is now fulfilling the promise that he receives righteousness with. Why could Abraham believe? Why could he believe God? And why could he have faith if God is willing to throw down a promise and then say, kill Isaac? Abraham believed in a God who raises the dead. This is another one of those things you need to memorize. Faith believes in the resurrection. We believe in a God who raises the dead. We'd have to. Christianity is based on that concept. If you don't believe in a God who raises the dead, you're not a Christian. I'm sorry, because in your view, Jesus died and that was the end of him. We believe in a God who raises the dead. Abraham believed in a God who could raise the dead. See, we read in the book of Hebrews that Abraham believed that if he killed Isaac, God would raise him from the dead in order to fulfill his promise. That's pretty strong faith. Abraham believed that even if Isaac died and was burned up on the altar, God would bring him back in order to fulfill his promise. Do you have faith like that? I bet you don't. That's amazing faith. See why he's called the man of faith? Because he's willing to sacrifice what is most dear and important to him, because he believes the promises of God so strongly. He believed that God could resurrect his son from the dead. See, here's our problem when the rubber hits the road for us. What's faith for us? Faith is believing that if you give up your life for Christ, you will be raised from the dead and get something better in the end. That's a hard one for us to take, especially in America. We're not used to that. So when I teach God's value system is sacrificial love for the benefit of others, there's a lot of Christians who don't like to hear that. And they don't even think that's true. They don't want to think it's true because they don't want to have sacrifice. They don't believe in it. Jesus died on the cross because he knew he wouldn't stay dead. You see that? We talked about that last week. Jesus dies on the cross, but he couldn't stay out of relationship with his Father. He would be resurrected back into that relationship because he didn't die for his own value system. But what's important to understand, Jesus dies on the cross because he knows he won't stay dead. He's willing to sacrifice everything because he believes in resurrection. Now, here's what limits sacrificial love in your life. Your belief in resurrection. That's the limiting factor that we all have as Christians. We won't give up everything to follow Christ if we don't believe strong enough in a resurrection. We say we believe in the resurrection. We say, yes, there's a heaven. Yes, I'll go there. But our actions don't say that. Our actions say, this world is my home. I'm happy here. Lord, give me more. That's what we do with our actions and often with our mouths. We believe in a God who raises the dead because faith is measured in what we will not withhold from God. Will you give up everything to follow him? What did Jesus say he wanted us to do? Take up our what? Our cross and follow him. Now, what's implied in that? That you will hang on it if needs be. You will hang on that cross. He's calling his disciples to have sacrificial love in the same way he has it for everyone else in the kingdom. And if you're not willing to have that, you're not really following him. If you're not really following him, it's because it's an issue of faith for you. We're not willing to lose our lives for the sake of Christ. We really aren't. We say we would. We say we'd die for him. Yes, if it came to put a gun to your head, you'd be willing to die for Christ. He's not asking that of you. He's asking you to have sacrificial love for your brother and sister in the kingdom. And we say, oh, that's so much to ask. It's the story of the rich young ruler. He didn't want to have it because he didn't have faith in resurrection. Jesus told his disciples, if anyone who would come after me, that means to be his disciple, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his life? Or what shall a man give in return for his life? See, whenever we're unwilling to give and live sacrificially, it betrays our doubt in resurrection. You say, I don't doubt the resurrection. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Do you believe like Abraham did that if he killed his son would come back from the dead in order to fulfill the promises? And what does God promise you? He promised you eternal life with him in heaven, eternal relationship that lasts forever and ever. In this life, be his disciple, have sacrificial love. And how much do you have that sacrificial love? See, if you really, really believe you're getting all that, then giving up everything now is the smartest thing you could ever do. But you don't. Because it's tough. We're weak, as somebody told me this morning. Christ does not ask us to do something he will not do. Remember when I teach you that the one rule of the kingdom is sacrificial love for the benefit of others, but it applies equally to the king as it does to everybody else in the kingdom. He never asks us to do something he wouldn't do. He dies on the cross. He doesn't say, it's okay for you all to sacrifice, but it's beyond me. He says, I will do it first for you. And if you would know me, you will do it too. Isn't that amazing? To have a God who treats himself the same way he wants you to be treated. Isn't that amazing? That's why I love the kingdom of God. There's one rule in the kingdom, to love one another with sacrificial love. And it applies equally to the one at the top as to the one at the bottom. And there's one consequence for breaking that rule. And it applies equally to the one at the top as to the one at the bottom. The consequence of not having sacrificial love for the benefit of others is to be forgiven if you ask for it. And if we ask God to forgive us, he does. But he stipulates, if you ask one another to forgive, you must also forgive. We believe that Christ was raised from the dead. Paul writes about this in 1 Corinthians 15. He says everything hangs on it. He said, if you don't believe Christ was raised from the dead, then you won't be raised from the dead either. And you are nuts to be a Christian. That's what Paul said. I'm paraphrasing. Paul didn't write exactly like that. You thought that was true. You need to go read your Bible a little more. So you can just tell between when I'm paraphrasing and when I'm not. But we believe that we will be raised from the dead. Or at least we say we do. Or we hope so. If you really, truly believe you'll be raised from the dead, then sacrificial love is easy. It's really easy. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Sound like Abraham sacrificing his son? Whoever does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. It's amazing. See, faith is tied to sacrifice. It starts that way. Faith is tied to sacrifice in the story of Abraham. And it's our trust in the sacrifice of Christ. But his calling is to make us people who will sacrifice as well. That's what the calling into the kingdom is about. And it requires great faith to do it. Great faith to have sacrificial love. As I'll teach you later, it takes supernatural power of God to do it. We don't want to do it in our own strength. We fail at it. Sacrificial love requires great faith. We must believe two things. First of all, that God keeps his promises. And second of all, that God raises the dead. And these two things are tied together. Believing God raises the dead, we have this vague belief in that. How many people have seen somebody raised from the dead? Okay, just checking. I've never seen anybody raised from the dead, but some people claim to have. But this other one, God keeps his promises, very, very significant. I'm going to cover the idea of the promises of God in another sermon. Because it's so important. If you're going to believe to the point of death that God keeps his promises, you'd better understand what his promises are. And I tend to think that a lot of times we as Christians have a wrong understanding of the promises of God. We're led down a garden path on some of those things. And the danger in that is that we say, here's this promise of God, and some Bible verse is given to us, and then we trust that promise, and that promise, quote, I'm going to put the promise in quotes there, doesn't come out, does it? Have you ever had that happen? Nobody's going to be honest with me this morning. All right. How many people have been taught something as a promise of God, you believed it, and it didn't come true? Okay, that's what I'm talking about. Now, here's your options. Number one, God is a liar. Well, that's one of the options. I'm not saying it's the right option. I'm just saying what your options are. Number two, that promise wasn't for you. That's an important thing. I had a friend once. He used to walk around with a promise box. Here! He used it like a fortune cookie. Here's your promise of the day. And you'd read this, you know, some promise given to somebody in the Old Testament, like Abraham. You know, he'd pull this thing out. God will multiply your descendants. What? This isn't for me. The promise is not from God, or the promise is not for you, or the promise is for the future, or you didn't understand the promise correctly, or you're misinterpreting the text. There's a lot of issues, and it's important. It's very important. Why is it so important? Because nothing will destroy your faith faster than believing or having somebody tell you God has given you a promise and it doesn't come true. It will destroy your faith 100% of the time. That's why I teach about this. And that's why when I get to teaching what the promises of God are, and I'll do that in a few weeks, I will teach you on that. You've got to get it right. God keeps his promises 100% of the time. We misinterpret the Bible and the promises of God. Not going to say 100% of the time, but enough of the time to give us a problem in our faith. Because if God doesn't keep his promise even one time, the gig's up, isn't it? And it destroys faith quickly in people. God keeps his promises, but he keeps his promises, not the ones people put in his mouth. You will have a great difficulty believing God raises the dead if you believe that he's not keeping his promises in this life. More importantly, you will never be able to have sacrificial love in this life if you think God doesn't keep his promises. You will never have the faith to put everything on the line for him if you don't believe he's going to come through. See why faith is tied to sacrifice? You will not sacrifice if you don't believe God keeps his promise. Faith is what? Believing the promises of God. Faith is believing the promise, the real, true, actual promises of God. Not that other stuff that people make up. It takes great faith to give our lives away in sacrificial love for others. And it requires that we believe God keeps his promises and that he raises the dead. And until you believe that deeply, you will struggle with sacrificial love. I guarantee it. How many people here struggle with sacrificial love for the benefit of others? Come on, we all do. And you know why? Because your faith is weak. Because your faith is weak. It's because you don't really believe in a God who raises the dead. You kind of believe. You believe somewhat. But if you really, really believed it, death is nothing. Giving up everything in this life is nothing. If you really believe it. Now, I'm numbered among the people who have a tough time with faith. We all do. We all do. We all do. Without faith, it's impossible to please God.